I'm going to begin this evening by reading a few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17, and it's in verse 48. And as I read this, you're probably going to recognize the narrative that probably pretty immediately that we're talking about here. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 48, we read, "Then it happened, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into the bag and took from it a stone, and he slung it. And he struck the Philistine on his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground." You probably recognize this as the narrative of David and Goliath, and it has to be probably one of or the most popular narrative of the Bible that there is. Pretty much every kid knows it, or at least every kid around here. I realize that not every kid knows it, which is kind of a scary thought. But even non-Christians know about the story, the biblical or the historical account of David and Goliath. And there's probably many reasons that it's popular. You know, for the unbeliever, it may just seem like a fascinating tale, but it's truth. And that's part of what makes it amazing. It's a historical account that showcases what faith in God makes possible. And also giants, right? Giants are pretty interesting. In fact, especially the fact that there were real ones. And it seems impossible that one young man would take a stone and he would slay the giant. But that's just looking at it on the surface level. Obviously, beyond that, we realize that it was a very large God that really slayed the giant that David faced. But let's do look at it on the surface level for just a moment. It definitely looks, the story of David and Goliath, looks like a story where the odds are defied. And we really enjoy it when the odds are defied. And we really enjoy it whenever the impossible happens. The other day, I was up in Canyon getting water. And if you know the water mill up in Canyon, it has two spots where you can get water. And I had a couple of 5-gallon jugs that I was filling. I was the only one there, so I was using both of them. Used one side. It's $1.75 for 5 gallons. Put in $2. Gave me back a quarter. Looked at my quarter. Real nice, shiny quarter on the back. 2018 Michigan quarter. So, go over to the other side. Again, put in my $2. Put in the 5-gallon bucket. I get a coin back. Again, this is two different sides of the machine. Get back this coin. Real, kind of old-looking coin. But I look at the back. 2018 Michigan quarter. And I thought, what are the odds of that? And there's probably going to be somebody who after the lesson says, really, it was pretty good odds for whatever reason. But for me, it seemed impossible. And that's why it sticks out to us, right? The impossible is really neat. We enjoy it when it seems like things are impossible. Might I suggest that sometimes we have kind of low standards of what impossible and possible are, especially in regards to our life. But I want to point out just a few things about things being against the odds. Number one, God's people always seem to be against the odds. And there's a lot of examples in this in the Bible, but there's four people in particular I wanted to talk about. Number one being Noah. You know, it seems like righteous men are kind of a rarity, and no matter what day and age we're talking about, but think about Noah's surroundings at this time. Genesis 6 and verse 5, we read, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." What are the odds when we read about a world like this? What are the odds that we find a righteous man? But Noah's there. And here's what is said about Noah, Genesis 6 and verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. And this next is the defining factor for Noah, I believe. Noah walked with God. I really think it was God that made it possible. Abraham desired a child. Nothing strange about that, except for the fact, here's the thing about Abraham. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife Sarah, 90 years old. Barren. She could not have children. What are the odds that this man has a child? Well, Genesis 21 and verse 1. "Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him." God blessed Abraham with a child. God made it possible. Moses was a poor speaker. By his own words, Moses was an exile out of Egypt. Moses probably hadn't seen his people in 40 years. Moses was 80 years old. What are the odds that Moses was going to be the leader to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt? He did, because God said, Exodus 3 and verse 10, "Therefore come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." God made it possible. David killed the giant. We talked about that already. But also, what are the odds that a young man, the youngest of eight, from a little town called Bethlehem in Judah, a shepherd, would one day become king? Especially when the king at the time, with all the power at his disposal, was trying to kill this young man. Well, pretty good, actually, because we read 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14. Through the mouth of Samuel, God says, "The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people." Again, God made it possible. But all these things seemed against the odds. But even with all these things seeming against the odds, they don't compare with what we read in John 1 and verse 1. We read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And then we read this in verse 14 about this Word. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The Word becoming flesh, Jesus Christ becoming flesh, means a whole lot. But what it means, when you think about it, is that He gave up for a time what is the greatest desire that we all have, the glory of heaven. And even more glory than we can imagine. And He did that, why? To die on a cross. That makes you think, right? I mean, you think about what Jesus says. Jesus says in Matthew 16 and verse 24, "If anybody wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And sometimes we look at that and think, well, that's a pretty steep price. It is. Jesus gave far greater than that. Jesus paid a far steeper price. It makes you think about things. But that's who God is. God does things that we just cannot comprehend, whether it is His being able to create everything, whether it is the patience that He has, whether it is the love that He has. And that is why He did what He did. He died on a cross, gave up glory to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven, so that I could be forgiven, so that you could be forgiven. And sometimes to be forgiven is one of those things that just seems impossible. But Paul says in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, "It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all." We have done wrong against other people. I guess I'll speak for myself here. I'm pretty sure you have too. I've done a lot of things to hurt people in my life. God has seen those things. We have done wrong against God. We have hurt God. We know that He has seen those things. I think about the time when Peter denied Jesus and Jesus looked right at him. I know that there are times in my life where I've felt that look upon me. He's seen everything, really. It's been every time. And to be forgiven, when you think about that, seems absolutely impossible. But then we look at Paul's words, what we just read. "If it is possible to save the foremost of sinners, then it is possible for us to be forgiven." And that is what Jesus came to do. It is possible. It is possible. Why? Well, it's the same reason for the ultimate reason for every single one of the lessons that one of the reasons that I hope I get across in every lesson, and that is the difference of God and the difference that God makes. The odds seem to be against the people of God. Seems to be against, except God. The odds cannot be against God. It seems to be impossible that the Son of God would come to dwell among us. It seems that way except God. That is exactly the plan that God had. It seems impossible and it seems against the odds for to be forgiven, except God absolutely offers that through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as impossible when it comes to God, for the most part. It's impossible for God to sin. It is impossible for Him to dwell with evil. It is impossible for Him to be anything other than magnificent. But in the ways that it matters most to us, there is no such thing as impossible with God. And so, you know, I said, sometimes we have kind of low standards of what possible and impossible is. And we ask, what is the odds? What is the odds that I can be a successful parent? Or what are the odds that I will be able to get over some shortcoming or temptation or whatever it is? Or what is the odds that I will be able to talk with someone about Christ? And we can look at those odds and say, well, it feels kind of impossible. And to be honest, with how God, the odds are pretty much non-existent. At least when it comes to being successful. But with God, they are. Mark 10 and verse 27, with people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. And I emphasize here, it's not just that all things are possible. All things are possible no matter how hard we try or no matter how bad that we want. But it is possible to be a successful parent. It is possible to overcome. And it is possible to spread the gospel. And it is possible to do every single thing that God desires of us. But the thing is, it's not about relying on our own chances to beat the odds. It is about relying on our God, to whom all things are possible. It is possible to be forgiven. It is possible to have life. It is possible to be saved. If anybody this evening needs that, if you need to be baptized in Christ, if you need any prayers of the congregation, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.